Today, we're going to be talking about the truth behind why brands hit a brick wall and why they can't grow anymore. And I'm specifically going to be talking about some of the things that happen in Google advertising, so on what we call PPC, pay-per-click, and also what happens on SEO, which is Google's organic channels for free traffic coming in from Google. This is the Winning with Shopify podcast. On this podcast, we interview the brands that are successfully scaling up their Shopify stores to learn how they did it, the mistakes they made, and the lessons that they've learned. If you want to get some weekly insights and offers directed to your inbox, head over to winningwithshopify.com and sign up to our newsletter. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Hello and welcome to today's episode. It's an absolute pleasure to have you guys tuning in, whether you've been a subscriber for many, many years or it's the first time you've tuned into Winning with Shopify. My name's Nick. As you probably heard, I'm the host here and I've been hosting the show for nearly 3 years. In fact, next month in June 2024, it's going to be 3 years. So it's been an absolute journey. If you want to scroll back and listen to any old content, we've got some amazing old episodes as well. Some of the content is still relevant. And also some of the things we've covered previously are even more relevant today. And equally, you can tell us that some of our predictions were completely wrong, that the e-commerce and Shopify world has gone completely different direction to what we expected. Just before we dive into today's show, I just want to announce something I announced last week as well, and we still have a few places left. We're about half full now on a round table that we're doing. It's £150 if you want to come along. It's 2 hours long, and we will discuss topics that are submitted by the people that are coming along. There's already been a few themes. One has been around how to manage different marketing channels and do attribution. And a second one that's come up, which has been really interesting, actually, is about lifetime value and how to get repeat orders from your customers. So two topics we'll probably be covering in that roundtable. And we've got an amazing guest joining us for the roundtable as well called John from Battlebox. They've got their own Netflix series. They've got the most incredible Shopify store. And he's also sold and rebought the business back at different points throughout his journey, too. So if you want to come to that roundtable, go to winningwithshopify.com. We've actually made a landing page now as well, because we thought it was a little bit unprofessional not to have a landing page. So winningwithshopify.com and hit roundtable. Be in the main nav, fill out the form, and we are obviously qualifying people as well. We're not letting any agencies or other people in that might be doing some selling or other stuff. So it's for brands only, and ideally brands of sort of 100k a month turnover upwards. If you're below that, then we still might let you come along. Depends on where the brand's at. But if you're a starter brand, it's not going to be super relevant for you guys. So I do apologize for that in advance. But we might be doing something a bit different and at a different price point in the future as well. So it's the first one of these we've done and publicly announced. So if you want to come along, please do let us know, and we'd love to have you involved. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about quite an interesting topic, and it's just going to be me, I'm afraid. So if it's the first time you've tuned in, you're going to love my voice by the end of this episode. As I say, it's just me on the show today. I haven't got a guest, but what I have done is collected a few case studies, and I've collected a few other bits and pieces that you've probably seen in the title that have been provided by my own team. Today, we're going to be talking about the truth behind why brands hit a brick wall and why they can't grow anymore. And I'm specifically going to be talking about some of the things that happen in Google advertising, so on what we call PPC, pay-per-click, and also what happens on SEO, which is Google's organic channels for free traffic coming in from Google. So I've got 7 points. Seven's a lovely number, which I'm going to run through today. I'm going to kick off straight into point number one. And this is all based off my 16 years experience in this industry. I think it's heading towards 17 years in the next few months, but I'll work that out at some point. 16 feels like the right sort of number at the moment. But yeah, I've worked with over 1,000 brands. And so some of these stories I'm going to tell you, I'm obviously not going to name the brands, but I will share some stories of where brands have hit brick walls. And a lot of brands have hit brick walls, or what I'd say is a brick wall, at very, very different times as well. So I'll come on to that as to where this might hit you in your growth, and whether it's a really early thing you might hit, or it's something that it might actually be something you sleepwalk into in the future. So anyway, let's crack on with point number one. Point number one is being led by the finance team rather than marketing. So finance people, finance directors, accountants, I'm very, very sorry. I'm going to call you out today in a very, very polite way. But what we mean by this point is we've had so many brands we've worked with in the past that have basically said, if you can't prove it's going to work, we're not going to spend any money on it. And the problem with that is you then start to lose creativity and testing. So when brands have approached us in the past and said, hey, we're new, we've never spent any money on Google advertising before, but we want to, can you give us some sort of guarantee, prove it's going to work? And the answer is no, I'm afraid we can't. We've got to start testing. What I can guarantee, what I can promise you is that it's probably not going to work on day one. It's probably going to take some testing. And we're going to come on to testing a little bit later as well. It's actually my final point as a spoiler alert. I'm going to talk about doing some extreme and some pretty relevant tests as well to help you grow your brand. But certainly I've had so many situations in the past where the finance team refused to sign off budgets, or they refused to invest in certain things because they can't see how it's going to work. Now, the businesses that continue to grow, and something that I find certainly in the earlier days of a business, is that because you don't have that big finance team with POs and big approvals and things that need proof and, you know, some sort of forecast, or one thing where one of our clients used to love asking us is, what's the uplift going to be? You know, we make this SEO change, what's going to happen? How much more money are we going to make? And we'd often say, well, right now, we don't know, so we can test it on 10 pages and see if those 10 rankings go up as a result of us making that change on 10 pages. And if that works, we'll roll it out to all 1 million or 2 million pages, however many you've got on your site, whatever size of number we're talking about. So that can work quite well. But certainly when you're a smaller, more nimble business, the founder just goes, do you know what? This might not work, but stuff it. Let's try. Let's put some cash in and see what happens. And I've seen it so many times throughout my career that the business will actually grow off the back of those kind of going off on a limb. A big number of those things won't actually work. They won't bring results. And sometimes you keep hammering until that, you know, using the analogy of that brick wall again, eventually it comes down. But certainly the bigger businesses become, the more teams are involved, the more we do find that whoever's pulling the purse strings and in charge of the budgets and finance, they can start to actually say to the marketing teams, like, I can't give you budget unless you prove to me it's going to work. Or they say to the marketing team, we're cutting budget, so you're just going to have to lower everything by 15%. And then the end of that year, they wonder why their revenue's down 15%. Or if it's down 10%, you know, why is our revenue down? It's like, we spent 15% less, we got leaner, so we're only 10% down year on year, but you gave us less budget. And actually, certainly scaling and growing businesses, you need to be spending more than less. And I think one of the biggest issues as well, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later as well, is looking forward and what's on the horizon, how to know what's coming next. And actually, one of the big challenges is when a business needs to make a big change, like when TikTok came along, for example, it can be painful. And certainly, you know, I'm going to call you guys out, I'm afraid. As I said, finance directors, accountants, the finance teams, they'll be the first ones to say, like, well, we've never tested TikTok, so you can't have any budget for it, you know, unless you can prove to us it's going to work. And the whole point is, we don't know. We need to test this thing. We need to try this thing and see what happens. And it's, I always take the rule, if we test 10 things and one thing works well, then at least that one thing's worked well. So I think it can be a real barrier, actually, and a real roadblock. It can be finance teams. But equally, we do need you guys, because as a marketing person, I know what I would be spending on all of my clients if I could, you know, but if the finance was completely up to me and it wasn't my money. But certainly finance teams, like, I think we need a really close kind of what's a test and what's something that's tried and tested that we should increase budget on and spend more on. So that's my first point, is about making sure the finance team and marketing are nicely aligned. Second point, and obviously this podcast is called Winning with Shopify. Now I'm going to talk about tech stacks. One of the biggest things I see that stops brands growing, and certainly when we're trying to make SEO changes or we're trying to make deployments for PPC or change tracking on our Google advertising, for example, one of the biggest issues we come across is technology, which is ironic when you think about how plug and play technology is these days. And we even see this in some Shopify stores. And so my point here really is to make sure that as your business grows, as things scale and develop, you are not restricted by the tech that you're using. It can be very painful to move technology partners. And so I think you've got to be really strategic in your growth, actually, to decide, when are we going to use this email platform, this PIM system? If you don't know what that is, Google it. You've got something coming in the future when you do launch your first PIM system. What web platform we're on? Obviously, we're big advocates of Shopify. It's not the best for every business. It's not the only platform we work on by any capacity. But Shopify is a really good platform for a lot of businesses and other businesses. You know, we're actually taking a multi-country, multi-site and multi-brand business off Shopify onto WooCommerce at the moment, which is not something we do regularly. Normally it's the other way around, but WooCommerce is a better fit for these guys because they have a database driven business that has to run off a database. So the tech stack is so important. And what you don't want to be doing is moving tech stacks or moving any of your tech around on a whim. There's a whole list of criteria that you need to go through. And we do this a lot with our clients. And I might regret saying this, but if you're thinking of changing a platform at the moment, like your email provider or your web platform or the person that's looking after your shopping feeds for Google Ads or something like that, feel free to drop us an email. We can certainly give you a 1, 2, 3 on how to go about moving different technology around or going with different platforms. Some businesses like to have a different platform or different bit of tech for every single thing that they do, and some big integration. So make sure they all work really well together. And that can be quite powerful. Then you've got lots of little bits of software that are all quite nimble and all quite easy to use. And it's the ones that the team of the hour today want to use. Other businesses go down the route of going, we just want one tech platform that can do everything. And there's challenges and advantages for both of those two approaches as well. What we tend to find is most businesses have a bit of a hybrid. We're certainly working with quite a few Magento stores at the moment where we're sitting there going, just move it to Shopify or just rebuild Magento. And the client, going back to my first point, finance team is saying, we just spent, you know, £150,000-£200,000 or dollars building this Magento store. And now you're telling us to put it in the bin. And that can be a really painful, difficult conversation. So I think the things you need to look at with tech absolutely is, does it integrate with all the different platforms that we use and we need to have integrated? So make a bit of a map of your tech stack, which you can just do on a simple mind mapping tool or a whiteboard in the office, which some of my clients and some of we do as well with our whiteboards. Just draw out what tech is this client using at the moment and which ones are working well, which ones aren't working well. The other thing you need to be really clear on is, what do I want this tech stack to do? And ironically, I've actually, if anyone's watching on YouTube, I have my notepad here and I'm just covering something up that's confidential. I started looking at CRM systems to see if my CRM system I use at my agency Spec is the right CRM system for us. So I've written out the criteria of what I want it to do. I want to know when I need to catch up with people, who I need to email, who I met, how I met them, and how often I'm talking to them. It's those kind of things. I also want to know if I add somebody to it, if they're already a duplicate. So if I meet somebody at an event and go, right, they're a potential client, I'm going to add them to my CRM, I'm going to stay in touch with them. And when they're ready for PPC and SEO, hopefully I'll be front of mind and they can bring me in to pitch. And so I want to know if they're a duplicate person or not. And you can have exactly the same thing for your customer database as an e-commerce brand looking at your CRM system as an example. And you might go, okay, HubSpot does everything we want, but that means we're sold into the HubSpot realm and it doesn't integrate with other things very well. Or actually, it's really expensive. So going back to the finance team, they'll make a really good point here and say that's way too much just for a CRM. If we use HubSpot, we move everything apart from Shopify to HubSpot, literally everything. But that's still going to be a massive, massive undertaking. And we need to find somebody that knows how to use HubSpot and employ them because we need an expert on this. On to point number three then. So the third thing that I think brands hit as a roadblock when trying to grow and trying to build what they're doing. And this is an over-reliance on a single channel. And I've seen it so many times before and it pains me. And it's not even the fact that if it's the channel I'm looking after, but Google Ads tends to be such a big thing where so many brands are having issues where Google Ads is spending all of their marketing budget, making all of their revenue, and there's no other channel driving anything. Now, if that's happening, there's a few really big and very deep business problems going on there. And it should be an enormous red flag and you should be hitting the alarm bell, as I do with a lot of my clients whenever that's happening. It doesn't happen all the time, but quite a few clients, if we do a really good job, you know, and I'm going to make myself try and look as good as I can on this podcast, but if we do a good job and stuff goes up, they're going to spend more, make more. But then the percentage of total revenue and marketing budget allocated to Google Ads is going up and up and up. Imagine you wake up one morning and Google's decided to do an account review or turn things off, or actually your target market starts moving off that channel. It can become quite a big problem. So what you need to do here is make sure that you're looking at a few things. And if you're totally reliant on one channel, what you're probably not getting actually is repeat orders and good lifetime value growth from your customers, because that normally happens through social and email. So what we need to be really careful about is probably going to Google Analytics 4 is a good place to start. So go on to GA4, look at your acquisition channels and go, okay, what percentage of my traffic, my sessions, and most importantly, my revenue is coming from each of these different channels? Is there a whale channel, or actually have I got quite a good breakdown? I've been chatting to one of you this week. You know who you are. We've been emailing quite a lot about a brand that you're looking to launch in the near future. And I've literally just done this for you. Literally the same day I'm recording this podcast, I did it this morning and sent you an email of like, what percentage of total budget should we allocate to Google Ads, to SEO, to email, to social, to influencers, to PR, and kind of break all of that down so it's nice and clear that actually we need to be on a lot of different platforms. So we acquire a customer through an acquisition channel. We need to start SEO nice and early to get some good traction on SEO. But then actually we're going to use things like email to get that lifetime value from the customer. Also, another one of you who I know you listen to the podcast as well. By the time you hear this, we would have just actually done a pitch to you guys quite specifically saying that your PPC spend on paid social and also on Google Ads is too high and you're becoming, you already know you're way too reliant on that as part of your brief to us. So we're saying here, how can we lower the spend on it and actually bring other things up? And that involves a whole load of other changes. But I've seen it so often when brands get really reliant on one channel when something goes wrong. June 2021 now, there was a big iOS update on Apple. Obviously, that's where iOS is. And Facebook went into complete meltdown. And the amount of brands that we spoke to after that were like, we need to get Google pumping quickly because Facebook's basically died now. It doesn't convert anywhere near as well as it used to for us. And we've got quite a major problem as a business. And so, again, trying not to get too reliant on a single platform, it's very dangerous, but it's also easily done. You know, I said a moment ago that you test 10 things and one works. Well, now you need to test the next 10 things and find a second thing that works. And the more you test, the better those ratios start to become, that actually more things you're testing are working because you're learning more about the customer and evolving. So yeah, don't get reliant on a single channel. So many businesses struggle to grow with that. And if that channel disappears, they can fall apart. And I have actually seen more than one brand go bankrupt when that's happened, which is incredibly sad. So yeah, be careful about that one. Number four out of our 7 points, double down on marketing to your customer needs. Now, if you've never tuned into the podcast before, where have you been? I talk about this almost every single week. Talk to your customers, work out what they want, work out what they need, and provide something. And that involves conversations. You know, send them emails, get a customer feedback survey. But the one I really want to emphasize here, which is what I'm talking about, doubling down on marketing efforts, is find out why they buy the product. That bit's obvious, but specifically, what do they use it for? Now, I use an analogy to my team when we were discussing these points that actually I often wear trainer socks and sports socks all the time because they're not too hot and they're comfortable, but they're not designed for me to sit at my desk in an office wearing them, but I do like them. They're designed for me to go out on a run or wear with football boots, trainer socks, all sorts, you know, with trainers for running, for doing sport, for playing tennis, all that kind of stuff. But I don't use them for that. I just wear them every single day because they're comfy. They also stop quite low on your ankle, nice and cool, and your ankles don't get too hot. And whenever I wear a longer sock now when I'm wearing suits and need to be a bit more formal, I do find it uncomfortable. But you just see how my use case of that sock is not actually what the intended purpose for that sock. And my point here really is that's also not how they market it. They market it as a trainer sock, as a sports sock that athletes wear, runners wear, you know, and people who are training in the gym and stuff like that. I do use it for those things as well, but let's face it, that's what, no more than an hour or a couple of hours a day. I mostly wear them just constantly all the time. So actually, if somebody made a sock that said, this is as comfortable as a trainer sock, but actually it's an all-purpose, all-time sock, it's the same sock, but a completely different marketing campaign. So ask your customers, what do you use our product for? Could you send us a video of where you use it, a picture of where you use it? Could you explain that? Why do you keep buying this product again and again? What is it about this product that really makes you tick? And you might find actually you don't get the answer that you want or you need that first time. So actually drilling down on that, you know, get them on the phone, get them in a focus group, or ask 5 or even 10 questions about what they use it for. You could actually start to find out some more information by saying, you know, these socks, do you wear them every single day? Do you wear them a majority of the time? And if I answer that saying, yeah, I do wear the majority of the time, they'll go, okay, we've been marketing them as trainer socks this whole time. And that's not what he's using them for. But then they could ask me, what footwear do I wear day in, day out? And I would say, well, I normally wear trainers. And when I wear smart shoes or boots or anything else, I wear a larger sock, not this one. And so, you know, let's stop talking about my feet in a moment. But the analogy I think is there, and the whole point that actually, if they ask me the right questions, they would get some very useful information to me that say that this is not just the trainer socket, so much more. And you see how the creativity kicks in. You get this whole spiraling effect of all these amazing campaigns we could start to run from that, and how we could actually market and position this product differently. So ask your customers, what do you use the product for, and how does it fit into your life? You know, when do you use it? Where do you use it? How do you use it? How long does it last? When does it run out? When does it break? Have you ever broken one of these products? How often do you order them? All that sort of stuff. Learn as much as you can, and then apply that into your marketing. What you'll probably find is there's lots of different groups of people as well. Like, I'm not saying everybody uses the product in the same way that I do or you do, or this one customer that's bothered to fill out the survey. You'll probably find different groups of people. And we had Ben Leonard, founder of a big store, and used to run a big store called Beast Gear, which he sold years ago. And Ben gave a great analogy about this: 3 types of athlete that buy gym products from Beast Gear. One's mega elite, one's kind of still got a normal day job, but they work out a lot and take it very, very seriously. And then there's the third group, which is much more like me. I go to the gym regularly and I exercise regularly, but I take it kind of seriously, but it's not a major part of my life. It's more a sort of, I just enjoy it and I try to make exercise fun rather than just being hard graft training. So you've got those 3 different groups. They market to them completely differently. And they found that out by literally emailing people and saying, you know, which one of these are you? If people don't reply to it, you could say, a free gift. Which sort of gift do you want? Do you fit into camp A, camp B, or camp C? And then you can choose the one that you want to find that out. And then again, double down on marketing to those different groups, which might actually mean you have 3 very different user journeys when they land on the site as well. Number 5 out of 7. So another brick wall that I think people hit when they're trying to grow their business, specifically about PPC and SEO, is trying to involve the business as your customer does And most importantly as well, encourage your customers to evolve as well. And what we mean by this is that there's a lot of reports at the moment saying actually a lot of Gen Z, for example, and something my colleague Rob, who we had on last week, was saying in the office this morning, he's been reading some really interesting reports actually, that a lot of Gen Z are using TikTok as a search engine to find out what they need. They trust it and they believe it. Now that comes with a whole world of changes to marketing campaigns, a load of political and moral questions around a whole range of things, especially if you're sitting in the US right now. You're probably reading in the news that the US government are talking about banning TikTok altogether, which we thought was a Trump thing, but it seems to be still part of the conversation. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But again, going back to my point, don't be over-reliant on one channel, especially if that channel is TikTok right now and you're a US-based business. That is very, very dangerous. But it was the same with Snapchat in the past as well. But evolve as your customer does. So if your customer now are using WhatsApp instead of text messages, communicate through WhatsApp. If they don't read their emails, but they do get notifications from an app, you're going to need to launch an app. You know, it's like some of this is reactive. What are they doing? So actually we need to adapt to work with those guys. But the flip side of that as well is encouraging them to change, to say, you know, send out a survey and say, are you on TikTok? And would you like to communicate with us on TikTok as well? Yes, we would. And then actually when you launch your TikTok, just as a marketing campaign, instead of just launching TikTok and then going, follow us on TikTok. You could say, we're doing a big TikTok launch on Thursday. The first 10,000 people to follow us are going to get a free gift. And that free gift could be a 10% off code, which is much cheaper than acquiring someone on Google Ads, Meta Ads, or any of your other advertising channels. So actually, you can come up with these, again, creative marketing campaigns. But see how your customer is evolving. How are they changing their use of products? How are they changing where they shop? How much they spend? What payment methods they use? You know, it's been a really big thing for years now is finance, where you can do 0% interest on, you know, monthly installments to pay for this new bed that you're buying. And certainly with things like home ownership getting more and more expensive, you know, in the main markets of you guys listening across the UK, US, Australia, and Europe, I know for most of us, you know, the cost of living is going up and house prices, flat prices, that sort of thing, it's just getting more and more expensive. And so actually people are pretty conscious about price. So paying on finance is a good thing when somebody moves house, buying all their furniture. If you're a furniture company, you're targeting that market. But again, ask questions. You know, most of my customers, have you been living in your house for, you know, less than a month, between 1 month and a year, between 1 and 5 years, 5 years to 20 years, 20 years plus. And if you find out most of your customers have been in their house for 20 years, well, your marketing starts to become about upgrade, you know, your furniture. Why not buy something new? What's the most tired item in your house? Let us know and you get a 10% off code and you can use that to upgrade that item on our furniture shop. So I think there's so many different ways you can look at this, but you've got to evolve as the customer does. And one thing we've helped brands with in the past as well is where they've got quite an old demographic that's getting older. We've certainly done campaigns where we said, okay, we're going to start to evolve this brand into a younger demographic. So we're going to try and target Gen Z and millennials. So actually we've now got a customer for 30 or 40 years rather than the rest of our customers that probably in 5 or 10, they're going to be a little bit too old for the sort of stuff we sell. So instead of trying to almost like rebuild our entire customer base as a brand every 5 years, every 10 years, we're going to try and do it once now and then just keep that right the way through and grow with those guys, which means as soon as Facebook and Instagram don't exist anymore, whatever that, you know, Gen Z and millennials are playing on, which millennials use Instagram a lot and a bit of Facebook still, whatever they use next when those platforms don't exist or if those platforms are still there and they're still communicating, Don't fix what's not broken. But certainly you've got to evolve as your customer does. And actually the way you can get a competitive edge is the second part of my statement there about encouraging that evolution. So if a new platform comes out or there's a new way of communicating with people or phone technology changes, or, you know, I'm wearing an Apple Watch. When the Apple Watch came out and you could then pay on your Apple Watch, lots of local coffee shops would actually, although it was still just a card payment, loads of local coffee shops and stuff put a sticker on the front of the door saying, you can pay on the Apple Watch. And so if I got an Apple Watch, you know, it's quite fun paying on my watch. It's a new bit of tech and I've paid for this tech. Why don't I go in and pay on my watch? And it's all these little marketing things that really engage customers. Yeah. And so make sure you do that. And obviously my catchphrase for anyone who's been tuning in for a while is marketing's been lost from digital marketing. So keep entertaining, keep it fun and keep marketing at the center of that. Right. Point 6 out of 7. I've mentioned this a lot, which is why I put it quite late on the list here, is to kind of loop back on this. Running out of creativity on how to grow your website and tapping into the e-commerce world. And what I mean by this is lots of brands get to a point where it's like, I've written about, you know, say you sell, I don't know, water bottles. I've got one here, a vacuum water bottle. Say you've been writing about water bottles for the last 3 years solid. You're the blogger for a water bottle brand and you're just stuck for ideas. What on earth do I write the next blog post about for water bottles? This is a real challenge that brands do find. And the answer is not for you to quit or them to fire you and hire someone else who's got a bit more energy. The answer is to get creative. And this is what I mean by tapping into the e-commerce world. So in the e-commerce space, there are loads of businesses like ourselves. There are loads of trade publications, and there's also lots of other e-commerce stores who are all talking constantly. You know, so to plug our round table coming up in a few weeks, we've got this amazing guest coming. There's gonna be lots of people like yourself in the room if you meet the criteria for what we're talking about. Lots of people like yourself in the room to talk to. I'll be there, and so will this chap, John, who's been there and done it before. That's where you can get some creativity. So spaces like that, or asking people you know on LinkedIn and saying, hey, I'm having a complete mind blank about, you know, how to grow our site. What new pages do we need to create? And certainly as part of our SEO service, we're constantly looking for new content to target new keywords. So if you say you sell these vacuum water bottles, when you say, you know, you put the thing up saying water, you know, organically made, which would be silly for a water bottle, but maybe like carbon neutral water bottles that we're going to plant some trees or do something, you know, for the environment if you buy this water bottle. What you then need to do is if you're ranking sort of top of page 2 on Google and you want to get to top of page 1, we need some supporting content. We need to prove to Google and also engage with our customers to explain to them why we're the best water bottle company there is. And this is where I find brands do run out of creativity of what now to talk about. So with the water bottle one, for example, we could start running a ton of FAQs about water bottles. We could run a tank over one of your water bottles and see if the water bottle survives, and actually run a, you know, run some sort of competition where people can vote, you know, vote on Monday. Do you think this water bottle is going to survive being blown up by a grenade, driven over by a tank, dropped off the top of a tower block that's 50 stories high, all this kind of stuff? Is the water bottle going to survive if that was one of the USPs of the water bottle? And then people can tune in on Wednesday and find out if the water bottle made it or not. And if you were right, you get a 15% off code. If you weren't right, better luck next week. We're going to do something else to the water bottle and see if it survives. There was an amazing campaign done years ago. It's one of the best SEO campaigns in history. And it was called Will It Blend? So these guys made these amazing blenders and they literally put incredible things in. And one of the things they kept putting in the blender was the new iPhone every year. So every time a new iPhone came out, they literally blended it. And the channel was called Will It Blend? And the irony was it would always blend, but you'd still want to tune in to watch this thing being blended. The guy put an entire broom in the blender at one point as well. Great SEO, because YouTube was getting millions and millions of views and firing all of that traffic, all of that SEO juice, all of those links straight back to the main website as well. So it really, really went off, and they were ranking number one for the word blender pretty much globally as a result of doing that campaign. So you don't have to go as viral as that, but we need to keep it creative. We need to keep building new areas of the site. And again, like I said, in point number 5, evolving with your customer, is your content actually relevant? You know, and I can be a bit blunt sometimes with clients where I'm like, we're writing all this content about these lookbooks and about how to style your lounge in the right way, or how to shop this beautiful look with them, you know, the right clothing products, and these shoes work really well with this jacket. Do customers even care? Let's look on analytics. Do they even read this stuff? And it can be quite sad sometimes when you look at a bit of content you spent, you know, days, weeks, months creating and getting ready, and then you see people only watched the first 5 seconds, or they only spent 10 seconds on this webpage, not long enough to actually read the content of this page. So then we need to go back and rethink, like, hey, how do we edit that video? How do we get people to engage with that? Or go back to my earlier point about talking to customers. Do customers actually even care? Are we talking about the wrong sorts of things? And this is absolutely where people hit roadblocks. And this leads on perfectly to my final point, which I mentioned earlier already, is about testing. I love Einstein's definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Now, what we need to be really careful of as marketeers, as brands, is that we don't just go, it worked last time, so we'll just keep doing it. Every time you do the same thing over and over, I would expect somewhere between 1% and 5% drop in performance. So we've had clients, for example, one client particularly used to do a competition every summer. Competition, you can win something from them, and you enter the competition by creating a short film. And every year, the engagement for like 2 or 3 years got better and better and better. And it hit its peak, and then it got worse and worse and worse. They don't do it anymore because it just doesn't work. And they're stuck for ideas as to what to do next. So we've come up with a whole range of other ideas to say, try this, try this, try this. You know, these are some things we should do. Or maybe sound out some of your closest customers that you know and say, hey, would you engage with this marketing campaign? Would this be something that would be used for you? So my point really is, do lots of tests, expect failure. You know, my 1 in 10 rule, if more than 1 out of your 10 things your test works, great. We've learned something. The worst thing with tests is, and again, sorry, finance directors, but you guys are guilty of this in my experience. There's been quite a few conversations I've had with you guys that have been guilty as where we try something and you go, right, that didn't work. You're not having the budget next time. Problem with that is nothing works first time. You know, the guy who invented the motor car didn't go, right, here's the first engine, I'm going to turn it on. Oh, it failed. The whole thing's not going to work anymore and stop. Of course he didn't. He looked at it and went, right, it's not working. What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Why the cylinder's not firing properly? All right, I need to invent the second thing, which I think I read about the motor car anyways. The guy had to invent lubricants and oil to make the engine work because there were so many moving parts. And that was one of the issues that he came across. So you might find actually that you launch something, it doesn't work, and you need to keep trying on it. I say boring, they're quite a fun brand, but their products are boring, which is why I think their marketing is so good. There's a brand called AO here in the UK. And I went to a conference and got chatting to the marketing director AO probably about 2 or 3 years ago now. I asked her, like, you know, do you do any Facebook Live stuff? Everyone's banging on about Facebook Live a few years ago. Do you do any Facebook Live? And she laughed and said, actually, yeah, we do. But that was a pain. They did their first Facebook Live and only about 20 or 30 people turned up to it. And they're a massive brand here in the UK. They advertise on TV and all sorts. Only about 20, 30 people turned out. And she was like, it was such a failure. And I was like, oh my gosh, guys, I gave you permission to do this. I got the directors to agree to it and everyone was on board and it's failed. And they were like, it's not failed. We learned more from talking to those 20 customers. Remember I said about talking to customers? 20 customers one-on-one. We learned so much from these guys. Can we run it again? And the next sort of 6, 7 ones they did, they had sort of between 20 and 50 people. It was kind of working, but they couldn't really, you know, those 20 or 50 people, they're not going to buy products from AO that often, you know, a washing machine, a dishwasher, you know, tumble dryer. They're not going to buy those products that often from these guys. But after sort of 6, 7, 8 rounds of doing this on a weekly basis, this Facebook Live, they nailed it. And they changed a few things. I shared a bit about this last week as well. I think I used the same example, but they absolutely nailed it. And now they've got thousands of people tuning in every week to their Facebook Lives. But I actually checked a few days ago to see, like, are they still doing them? And I don't think they're doing them anymore. But that goes exactly back to my point. It worked for a while. And then customers were like, okay, I've seen all your Facebook Lives now. There's only so much we can do on this. And it started to die. And that's why they stopped doing it at whatever point they stopped, is because it wasn't working. And I haven't spoken to them, but I can tell you that that would be exactly why. So I think we've got to test stuff, but we know everything's got a particular shelf life. We've got to keep evolving with this. And like certainly 2 weeks ago, if you didn't catch the episode with Daisy and you're running anything on Google advertising, especially if you're spending sort of 10, 20 grand a month upwards, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 or pounds upwards, we were talking a lot about all the things you should be testing. How you should have an almost kind of constant A-B test going on through pretty much everything you're doing on Google Ads. Google Ads is such a dynamic platform that means you can test stuff really quickly. It's the same on Facebook ads, same on email. You can run A-B tests through your email. Same on your website as well. We had Ben Burgess on an amazing webinar, which should be out by the time this podcast goes out on our YouTube channel. 2 hours with me and Ben talking about CRO activity, hosted by my colleague Rob that was on last week as well. So test. There's so much stuff you could be testing. And feel free to email me if you want. Send an email to hello@winningwithshopify.com or nick@winningwithshopify.com, N-I-C-K. It's a direct email into me. So you want to ask me and say, look, here's my brand. I'm thinking of running a test on this, or actually I feel like my teams are stagnating a little bit. What would you suggest? Please do reach out. I'd love to hear from you guys. If it takes me a week to reply, I'm very sorry. Thousands of you tune in every single week to this thing. And so whenever I say that, we get a lot of responses. So I will personally reply to all of you, but it might just take me a couple of weeks. But anyway, I'm just going to relay those points in summary really quick. So number one, don't be led too much by the finance team. Super important, guys. We love you. We need to connect with you guys, but we need to be run by marketing and creativity within that. Don't get restricted by your tech stack. And make sure with your tech stack, you don't move regularly, make real serious decisions about what tech to go to, how you're going to support it, and what the shelf life of that is, the cost, the integrations, et cetera. Don't be over-reliant on a single channel for marketing. Double down on marketing for your customer needs. Make sure that you're marketing to what they actually have as a problem, how they actually use the product, not how you think they do. Because guess what? I know I'm wrong a lot of the time. So I think we just need to be really, really clear about that ourselves, that let's not make any assumptions here. Let's find out and use data. Number five is evolve as your customer does and encourage your customers to evolve, because they'll evolve with you and none of your competitors. So they'll come with you on that journey. Don't run out of creativity. And if you do, tap into the e-commerce world, look online for ideas, come to webinars, listen to podcasts like this, get fired up, get some good ideas, go back and make some changes. And that leads on nicely to point number seven, which is run lots of tests. Don't do the same thing over and over just because it works. If you're doing that, you are sleepwalking into business failure. So make sure we're testing stuff and we're expecting some of the tests to fail, and just be really, really clear on how you optimize those tests to get that thing to work. You've all been amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hit up winningwithshopify.com and go to the roundtable page if you want to come along to our roundtable about how to grow and hear how John's grown, and we can talk about some of your problems and challenges. Thank you for tuning in. Back again next Friday. Love you guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter for exclusive offers at winningwithshopify.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group by searching for Winning with Shopify on Facebook. Over and out.